Welcome to the Ghost Rap Podcast. It's fast, it's fun, it's informative. This is your weekly dose of the news that matters on the markets with your host, the Finance Ghost. For more details on these stories and to make sure you get daily updates, visit ghostmail.co.za. The Ghost Rap Podcast is proudly brought to you by Mazars, a leading international audit, tax and advisory firm with a national footprint within South Africa. Please excuse my sick voice, ghosties. This is your last Ghost Rap of 2022, and I'm afraid I have some lumps of coal for you and some good news. But let's start off with some lumps of coal. And they have nothing to do with coal. They actually have everything to do with cell phone towers. These are the telecoms companies, MTN, Vodacom, Telkom, all under pressure at the moment. Now, Telkom is normally under pressure because, you know, it's Telkom. But for MTN and Vodacom, this is a bit unusual. And Thursday was a particularly shocking day for the sector. MTN fell 6.7%, Vodacom was down 5%, and Telkom down 11%. Now, the reason is actually quite simple. Load shedding is causing absolute havoc. Not only is infrastructure just not coping, and I can attest to that based on the Vodacom cell phone tower near my house, but the cost of energy is also skyrocketing. There is also major pressure on capital expenditure because towers need to be upgraded with battery backup solutions all the time. Now, this impacts EBITDA margins on the energy costs and free cash flow in terms of battery upgrades. And worst of all, of course, revenue gets hit if the tower simply isn't working. Investors are getting worried about this because Eskom quite clearly doesn't have a short-term solution or perhaps even a medium-term solution. But I've got to tell you that as an MTN shareholder, I'm waiting to see how low it goes before I potentially just mop up some more shares. I do still believe in MTN's long-term story in Africa. They are doing all kinds of interesting things. But Vodacom is also quite interesting, although it's seen as the more conservative of the pair, despite having done a big deal now in Egypt. The reality is we cannot deny that Eskom is a huge problem, but you also have to believe that these telcos will figure out a way to get these towers working at a reasonable cost. So short-term share price volatility can sometimes be an opportunity. Just be careful. The other big news from the week, and certainly the biggest lump of coal under the Christmas tree, is undoubtedly Steinhoff. Ordinary shareholders have been smashed for the final time, or almost the final time, because there were still people buying Steinhoff shares on Thursday. They either didn't read the announcement properly, or, you know, they just hate money. And as there is just so much debt in the structure, it really didn't matter in the end how well the underlying businesses like Pepco in Europe were actually doing. Unfortunately, there was so much debt at the top of the structure that the lenders hold the keys to the business. Now, in a decision that reminds me of, you know, when the only choices were Clinton or Trump, shareholders can either own 20% of an unlisted equity instrument or 100% of exactly nothing. That's it. Those are the choices. The show is over for Steinhoff ordinary shareholders. If they vote in favor of the corporate restructure, they will own 20% of the economic interest of an unlisted equity instrument. And if they vote against it, then the company says there's actually nothing left. And that is why the share price falls 64% on Thursday. The only way out of this, I would think, is if shareholders mount some kind of challenge to this proposed restructure, but I'm not sure anyone has the financial firepower anymore or even the willingness to do it. So I think the show is over for Steinhoff ordinary shareholders, and it's a very good example of the dangers of punting at turnaround strategies. Just look at Nampak, Tongaat. Those are also very real and recent examples. Moving on to some happy news, we finally have clarity on the offer for Alviva from the consortium of investors that includes the current BEE shareholder, offering 28 Rand per share. Now, that is a 45% premium to the volume-weighted average price before the original expression of interest was submitted back in June. And there was still money to be made because the share price jumped 10% when this firm intention announcement came out last week. Now, of course, if the offer is accepted, Alviva will be leaving our market, so more one-way traffic on the JSE, unfortunately. But this is a good example of shareholders being rewarded for buying an undervalued company. In some good news for South Africa, Impact is looking to invest around 1.2 billion rand in Mpumalanga, a direct result of our fruit export sector performing very well. The Mkhondo paper mill is the project in question, and this manufactures semi-chemical fluting. This is containerboard that gets used in cold chains because it offers high strength, moisture resistance, and durability. Now, investors care about cash flows rather than engineering geekiness, so the news on the cash flow front is that the project should be completed by 2025, and it is expected to generate an internal rate of return of over 20%. It will, however, cause borrowings to peak in 2024, so just keep an eye on the balance sheet. Speaking of balance sheets, PBT Group continues to do the right stuff. This time they are offloading preference shares to Sanlam Investment Management. Now, these prefs were actually funding PBT's BEE partners, so they were a business necessity, but certainly not a good use of capital for PBT Group. An operating business like this needs to be generating high equity returns, not the sort of mid-level yields that are typical of preference share structures. Thankfully, the likes of Sanlam are looking for investments just like these that offer attractive yield and risk-return characteristics. So the deal has been done to move the preference shares from PBT Group to a far more natural institutional owner. Importantly, there is no impact on the underlying BEE deal here. Now, I'm still scratching my head about why ShopRite even wants to buy these businesses from Massmart, but the ComCom has finally given the green light for the acquisition of the cash and carry stores and some associated businesses like Fruitspot and Mass Fresh Meat. The overall deal might have gotten a green light, but some of the stores got a red light, with the regulator deciding that 15 stores need to be excluded from this transaction. Quite who is going to buy these stores from Massmart, I am honestly not sure. But either way, ShopRite will now be the owner of 42 Cambridge Food and Rhino cash and carry stores, 12 MassCash cash and carry stores, and the other facilities I've already mentioned. Good luck to them. Massmart certainly couldn't make those sites work. And finally, if you are a shareholder in Grand Parade Investments, you should take note that the mandatory offer of R3.33 per share by GMB Liquidity Corporation has been determined by the independent expert and the board to be both fair and reasonable. In fact, the board has recommended that you accept the offer. As this is not a scheme of arrangement, it is a mandatory offer, there is actually no vote that will bind all shareholders to the outcome, so you can choose to accept the offer or not. And with that, I wish you a safe and happy festive season with your families. I will see you here on Ghostwrap in 2023. And that's a wrap. Remember, nothing you hear on the Ghostwrap podcast should be taken as advice. Please do your own research.